Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to start today, Sunday, December the 15th. And I'd mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, that during this time of year, because people have different beliefs, different traditions this time of year regarding this whole celebration in December. And not only that, also because some people may be going through some personal issues as well, that we ought to be manifesting the love of God to everyone, especially, of course, to believers. We know God's word says be especially good to the believers. And in thinking of that, that would certainly apply to preconceived ideas of where we think someone should be in their walk with God. That's not really being especially good to the believers. This morning, we're going to consider just a little bit of what God's Word says concerning the love of God, and especially concerning the love that we have for our brothers and sisters. And Romans, as you know, is the starting point for those who are born again. And Romans 12, that we're going to be reading from, begins the practical application of what went on before in the preceding chapter. So it's the practical application of that. The reproof for what's in Romans is in Corinthians. The reproof meaning this is where you're missing it. And then the correction is in Galatians. Okay, this is how you get back to the right doctrine. And that's how the seven church epistles work. So this is the first Romans, Corinthians, Galatians section. Then you have Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then Thessalonians doesn't need any reproof or correction because we're going to the clouds. So we begin here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. We're to be acceptable unto God. Other people might not accept us, but we're to be acceptable unto God. It's interesting that this section, the practical section, begins with, therefore. I beseech you, therefore. And God's not saying, I'm commanding you. It's a loving entreating. I beseech you. I beg you. I lovingly ask you. Therefore, and the reason the therefore is there because of what went before it. So from all of this doctrine from the first part of Romans, therefore, my beloved brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And verse 2 goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, better translated, don't be fashioned by this world or this age. Be not fashioned by this world or this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the renewing of the mind is making the mind new, putting new things in it. And that doesn't mean new recipes. New way to cook this or a new... It's putting God's Word new into our brains, what God's Word says we are, what God's Word says we have, what God's Word says we can do. That's the renewing of our minds. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, or woman, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man, every woman, the measure of faith, or the measure of the right way of believing, or the foundation of what is to be believed, which we find in the earlier chapters of Romans. Verse 5, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, the same function, the same long suits, for we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. This is just wonderful. We're all members of one body. It's one body. And God goes on now to mention some of the various ways of serving in this one body that we are a part of. You know, somebody could say, well, I don't want to be a part of this thing. But too bad. You're born again. You're in. That's like somebody going, I don't like being a part of this family. You can change your name, you can do whatever, but you know, your mom and dad are still the mom and dad that conceived and bore you. So we're in this one body. And verse 6, I think, right? Okay. Having then gifts or functions or, what did it say before, offices, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, well, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our of believing, of faith. And it's always according to the proportion of our believing. You know, having an ability, a service, a function, an office, we fulfill that by believing that we can, and to the measure that we believe. Or ministry, well, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching. If you teach, teach. Or he that exhorts, on exhortation. He that giveth, if you're a giver, well, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So not every possible service, function, or office is listed here in this little section. But what is written about the few would be equally true by extension for those services that are not mentioned. And really, this godly perspective of the interaction in the body of Christ, it's not limited to just those few that were mentioned there. The body of Christ, the believers, the church, whatever you want to use, all the born-again ones, profit from the contributions of each and every member as they walk with God in loving service. That's when there's profit to the body of Christ, when the members walk with loving service. You know, the reproof of this is really expanded in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And the importance of each member's service comes up in other places in God's Word too. Like in Ephesians 4, 16, it talks about the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that which every joint supplies, according to the working, the effectual working, in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's by the love of God and godly loving service that builds up the church, the body, the believers, you and me. All godly service is based on love. This section, as we've just looked at, began with God telling us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable or logical service. We were told to not be conformed or fashioned by this age, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then God said that even though there are many, many members in one body, all the members don't have the same service or office or function. And so get busy doing what you do. Just do. And then beginning with verse 9, our conduct. And look at how it starts. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Let love be without dissimulation means hypocrisy. Love, we love one another without hypocrisy. And hypocrisy, I mean, basically means two-faced. Hi, God bless you. Great to see you. That guy's a jackass. That's hypocrisy. So let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another. With brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We prefer being with God's people. We prefer the believers. That doesn't mean that we can't ever talk to an unbeliever. We can't ever... Where are you going to go? Go to the store and say, yeah, I need someone who's born again to wait on me. It doesn't mean that, but what does it say? Preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing, we're in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. What? Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. If somebody's rejoicing over something, we rejoice with them. If they're weeping about something, we don't go, well, too bad for him. Things are fine with me. No. We have that love, that compassion. And that's the love of God. If somebody's weeping, we weep with them. If they're rejoicing, we don't go, wow, she's sure lucky. She always gets the breaks. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. There's even reproof about that specific verse in Corinthians as well. Verse 10, be of the same mind one toward another. That doesn't mean we all have to like the same basketball team, baseball team, football team. It's talking about being of the same mind on God's word. We agree on God's word. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Get off your high horse. Don't think I'm so smart, I know every... No. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So we're not the ones walking around with judgment, right? Let God take care of it. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink, for in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And understanding the Orientalisms of that particular coals on top of your head, they'd have a young boy in the village in the morning that would have a pot on his head filled with hot coals going to each house so they could start their fires. And whoever's doing that on a chilly, cold morning would be warmed because he's got this big pot with hot coals on it. So that's what it means by, for in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Now, chapter 13 goes on and first talks about God's ministers and the proper conduct regarding them. And then we get to, in chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love works no ill towards his neighbor. And that's not just actions, but that would include judging, that would include criticizing, gossiping. Remember what we just read? Love without hypocrisy? We just read that a few minutes ago. We'll read it in a minute, but Corinthians says we should have the same care one for another. Remember when they came to Jesus Christ, they didn't really want an answer. They're just trying to trip him up. So what's the greatest commandment? Just trying to trip him up. And he said, the first and great commandment is to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, hang the whole law. He summed up the whole law in those two things. That's why it said here in verse 10. Yeah, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. We're going to move to chapter 14, verse 1. And again, we're looking at our conduct, the love of God towards our brothers and sisters, the love of God towards the believers, those that are born again. Verse 4 of 1 of chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, weak in believing, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eats herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who are you? Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falleth. Hey, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Remember what Romans 8 said? It said that who shall lay anything to God's charge to God's elect? God that justified us? Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died, but yea, rather is risen from the dead, sits at the right hand of God? You know, here God's word is pretty blunt. Who are you that you're judging people, right? And by the way, there are people who might be physically weak and eating herbs only because of that. But that's not what this is talking about, because verse 1 told us someone, it doesn't say physically weak, it says weak in believing, okay? So whatever that was for them. But the point is, God said, who are you that judges? Then verse 5. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth eats to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, guess what? We're the Lord's. That's why he said earlier, who are you to judge another man's servant? For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Why are you judging your brother? Jesus Christ is the Lord, not me, not you. Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is not the judgment times that we read about, that Jesus Christ talked about. This is, the Greek word there is bema, same as it is in Corinthians with the reproof. People think this is judgment, but it's because they either don't know or forgot what God said in Romans about every born-again believer in the first 8 chapters, right? God says very clearly in Romans 5, we've been saved from the wrath to come. Thessalonians also says we've been delivered from the wrath to come. Thessalonians also says we do not have an appointment with wrath. We are not going to go through the judgments. God's word says in the first part of Romans that we've all been made righteous. God's word says in Romans there's therefore now no condemnation. So this is not about the judgments. It is about the bema, the rewards that we will receive, the reward stand, if you will. And that's what this bema or judgment seat is. So, let's continue. verse 11. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And that's what Corinthians talks about. The rewards that we're going to receive. Everything that we've done is in a big pile. Fire tries it. Whatever's wood, hay, stubble category, gone. Whatever's remaining, gold, silver, precious stone, that's what we're rewarded for. How nice of God to do that. So then you come to verse 13. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. How many times does God have to tell us, stop judging your brothers and sisters? But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's pretty nice to say. Let keep your finger or marker here and look at 1 John 4. We'll come right back. 1 John 4. There's so much in God's Word about the love of God, and especially if you ever take the time to read 1 John, it is a lot of love in that particular epistle. 1 John 4. Look at verse towards the end of this chapter, verse 19. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. That's a cool verse, isn't it? God's the prime mover of love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. We love God because he first loved us. And I don't think we deserved it. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Back to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. There's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, okay, to him it's unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably, that's agape, that's the love of God. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And look at this. And things wherewith one may edify another. God would have us walking with the love of God is to build up people. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. You got believing? Good. Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of believing, for whatsoever is not of faith or believing is sin. Romans, again, is doctrinal, and we've been reading the practical application of the first part of Romans. The reproof for this epistle is in Corinthians. So if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I think most of you know that the word gifts in italics and spiritual is referring to spiritual matters. Concerning spiritual matters, God doesn't want us ignorant. And this whole section, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, is a section. And it deals with spiritual matters. Chapter 12 starts off talking about different functions and then the manifestations, the nine manifestations of Holy Spirit, and then how the body, the believers, are to work together. And especially pointing out that every member in the body of Christ is not only important, but needed. And so we get to verse 25 in this chapter, that there should be no schism in the body, no division. Oh, isn't that nice? We see across the world, we haven't quite made it to that point yet, have we, as Christians? No division in the body? How many denominations are there? Lots. God says that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That is God's will, that we have the same care one for another. Verse 26, look at this. This will remind you of what we just read in Romans. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. We are members in particular. We're all important and all needed in the body of Christ. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, the love of God, in the renewed mind and manifestation, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Even though I speak in tongues, I'm born again, I have God's Spirit, I speak in tongues, but I don't have the love of God. God says, you're just a bunch of noise. Really. Verse 2, and though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith or believing that I could remove mountains and have not the love of God, I'm nothing. And that verse is talking about the other manifestations. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. If you don't have the love of God, God says nothing. Oh, and look what else is added. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, man, I just give everything possible away. And though I give my body to be burned, you know, that means I burn myself out. I work 20 hours a day to do this and give that and do that. And have not the love of God, it profits me nothing. We always have to keep in mind that this chapter 13 about the love of God is in the context, it's right in the middle of the context of spiritual matters. Serving in the body of Christ, operating manifestations of Holy Spirit. And this is reproof in that context. We always have to keep that in mind. And then, of course, the correction, how to get back to what God said was right, is in Galatians. So if you keep a marker here, we're going to go to Galatians, next two books over, Corinthians, Galatians, chapter 5. A little blunt here in this. And again, this is correction. Romans is the doctrine. Corinthians is the reproof. Hey, you're missing the mark here. And Galatians is, here's how to get back. Here's what you need to do to get back. Galatians 5, 13. Oh, didn't look right. I was in Ephesians. Went a little too far. Used to this new Bible here. You know, once you've had a Bible for a long time, you just know where everything is. You know, right where it is on the page. You know, a verse that, oh yeah, it's at the top of the page. You take a different Bible and you're like, where is everything? Okay, Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Look at this. "By love, serve one another." By love, serve one another. That's what we are to do. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Remember we read that in Romans? "But," next verse, "if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." By love, serve one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Love. Don't be judging one another. Love. Walk in the Spirit, or walk by way of the Spirit. And that's operating manifestations. Ephesians 4. Probably familiar with this section. Ephesians 4, start with verse 29. That's a dandy, isn't it? "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Woo! Okay. Corrupt is that which tears down, that which is negative, that which is ugly. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what? But that which is what? Good, to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearer." So is what comes out of my mouth corrupt, or is it good and edifying? Does it minister grace to the people that hear it? Do we talk about other believers in a good way, in an edifying way? Or is it judging one another? Are we biting and devouring? God says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, so it would minister grace to the hearers." So if someone's speaking something to you that's not that, you might say, "I don't know if I need to hear that." Verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Put that stuff aside. And look at this, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." That's pretty good, isn't it? Absolutely. Before we close in 1 Corinthians 13, where we were, please look at Titus chapter 3. Titus is right after the books of Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, we're going to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. If I can find it. There you are. "To speak evil of no man. Be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men," all women. "For guess what? We ourselves were sometimes," or formerly, you know, before we got born again, "we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." We were kind of ugly before we got born again. But, verse 4, "after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. And this great salvation that we have is not by our works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration." That means a new birth, being reborn, being born again. "And renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid, now here's some things that God's word says avoid. Avoid foolish questions. You know, sometimes people have the dumbest things. It doesn't mean you have to answer everyone. Avoid foolish questions. What else should I avoid? Genealogies. You know, and that can even get to the point of, you know, sometimes people go, well, I've been in the Word a long time. Well, good for you. Does it make you special, better? I've had this class and that. Okay, fine. And contentions. We avoid that too. And strivings about the law. I'm not going to get into battles with people about the Scriptures. I'm blessed to sit down with somebody that wants to learn something. I don't like to, and if you do, that's fine, but I don't like to engage in what I call verse wars. They have a verse, now I have a verse. Yeah, but what about this verse? And it's just like we keep, there's my verse, there's his verse, there's my verse. It's, what are we accomplishing? You know, so striving about the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. Let's go close in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, looking at some of the stuff that we've looked at this morning, whose job is it to take care of the body of Christ? Yeah, ours. Whose job is it to build up and bless the body of Christ? It's ours. Exactly. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, 1 Corinthians 13, and have not the love of God, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all believing or faith that I could remove mountains and have not the love of God, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not the love of God, it profits me nothing. The love of God suffers or endures long and is kind. The love of God envies not. The love of God vaunteth not itself, meaning, look how great I am. Not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Oh my goodness. We're all working on it. Nobody's perfect yet, but God's saying, look, this is how you ought to act. If we didn't need this instruction, God would have never given it to us. So, no one's perfect, but we ought to be working on it. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Serves him right. I knew that. No. Here's what we rejoice in. Rejoices in what? The truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopeth all things. That's all things according to the word. Endures all things. The love of God never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And then this last verse. And now abideth faith, which is believing, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is the love of God. Out of those three things, the greatest is the love of God. How big is believing? Right? I mean, you couldn't get born again without believing. You know, so many times Jesus Christ said, be it unto you according to your believing. We believe God's word. How big is believing? It's huge. How big's the hope? Oh my goodness. We so look forward to the hope. But God said, of these three, of believing, the hope, and charity, the love of God, The love of God's the greatest of those three. So, let's not judge. Let's not speak evil. Let's not gossip. But by love, serve one another. We are the body of Christ. And God would have us to edify, to build up one another. And, you know, by the way, if someone needs help in their walk that you may notice, then if God directs you, proceed and help them with God's guidance, with the love of God. Like Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos. You know, Apollos was highly educated, great orator. He only knew about water baptism. And so there he was preaching, preached what he knew. You can only preach what you know. Aquila and Priscilla doesn't say that they went around and said, Apollos, you know, Mr. Educated. He only knows water baptism. He doesn't. The Bible doesn't say they did that. The Bible doesn't say they stood up and went, hey, Apollos, you don't even know about the new birth. But they took him away privately. And that great man had the meekness, which not a lot of people have. I know everything. You don't need to tell me anything. Okay, fine. The man had the meekness. They instructed him in the way of the Lord more perfectly. And then if you're familiar with Acts, Apollos was sent to Corinth, and the Bible says he did help them much. Help them much. So that's really kind of cool. So, again, this is a correctional epistle here. And you know what it says in Galatians 6, brothers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Right? You which are spiritual, not you which are perfect. You never make a mistake. Spiritual, with the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us and directing us. And if God doesn't direct you to get involved, then shut up and love and bless. Right? What profit is it to go around telling other believers about other people's weaknesses? What does that do? How does that help the body of Christ? It doesn't. Should love each other. Build one another up. And remember that none of us is perfect. We're working at it, but none of us is perfect. So, whether it's this season or any season, let's manifest God's love, and especially to the believers. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word. And, Father, especially, thank you for your love. That you first loved us, and that your love is unconditional. And that, Father, you told us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. May we manifest your love to all those that we see, and especially to the believers. I pray, Father, for everyone here, for those that are on the hookup, and, Father, also for those that may hear the recording at a later time. Thank you for all that we have through the completed work of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.